Go ahead and take our Bibles this morning and let's stand. And I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of James chapter 3. And we're going to look at just one verse, James chapter 3, verse number 6. That's where we'll begin. James chapter 3, verse number 6. James chapter 3, verse number 6, the Bible says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell." With God's help this morning, I want to preach on this subject, when nature takes its course. Brother Russell, would you pray for the message and you can be seated this morning.
Father, Lord, we just come to you and ask you, Lord, now that you'd be in this service.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you'd be in the preaching. I pray that you'd be with our pastor, Lord. I pray that you'd
help me.
Give him some power and authority and liberty, Lord.
Yes.
I pray that there wouldn't be a spirit of confusion or anything, Lord, or anything that spirit of distraction. I pray that just the blood of Jesus Christ would cover this,
yes,
Lord.
Yes.
Not only get something, Lord, but do something with it. Pray that you'd open up some ears, open up some eyes, open up some hearts to you and your word now,
yes,
Lord. And I pray that we wouldn't take any of it for granted or in vain.
Yes.
I pray that you'd show up, do it all, Lord.
Yes.
That you'd blow through here. And
yes. Amen.
Me,
amen.
In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. I'm sure that most of you here this morning will be very relieved to know that I'm not preaching on the tongue. Scared you there to begin with, didn't I? but contained in this same verse about the tongue is a phrase as it describes the tongue, the course of nature. That phrase is what you call an idiom. Not an idiot, an idiom. Like kicking the bucket or hang your head. It's an idiom, some words or a phrase that what they mean and how they're used there is not how they normally are meant. And what we actually mean in the way we use it here, when we say in our society, let nature take its course. Many times what we're saying is, we're going to allow someone or something to live and to die naturally. We say we're going to let nature take its course. It's just going to run its way, go its way, do its own thing that it naturally is just going to do. Sometimes when a fella grows old and he dies, we say that he died of natural causes. Or we say that he died of old age. That means, you know, he didn't die from, somebody didn't shoot him. He didn't die in a war. He wasn't murdered or anything like that. He gets old, he gets sick, and he dies of what we say natural causes. Now, when you look at nature, we're talking about nature taking its course. When you look at nature, you can look at how nature works through the years, taking its course. We know that rivers over decades and centuries, they will eventually reroute on their own. We know that volcanoes will erupt and lie silent for whatever reason for 150 or 200 years and then blow up again. It's nature taking its course. Seasons change. You know, we have summer and fall, and then we have winter and spring. And actually, if you study the patterns of the earth goes through centuries and decades of hotter than average weather and colder than weather average. It's not none of this global warming stuff. By the way, global warming will be a fact one day, but not how these stupid scientists say.
Amen.
And when God gets ready to burn it up, it'll be global warming instantaneously. If you go back and check the thing, there's been periods of hotter than average weather, and then there's periods of colder than average weather. And let me tell you something. Don't worry about what your aerosol cans are doing to the atmosphere. God's going to burn the whole thing up anyway. A lot of this mess is just scientists that's getting a bunch of millions of dollars of grants from the government to do their thing. They done research into that stuff, found out half that bunch is crooked anyway. But that's not the message. I threw that in for free. Do you know if you keep up with nature, we're talking about nature taking its course, just stay with me a little bit, we'll get into it. Animals and insects go extinct all the time. There's animals and insects going extinct all the time. And you know what you see showing up over and over and over? People are born, people live, and they die. And then more people come on the scene. It's just, this is what happens when nature takes its course. And I want you to understand that when nature takes its course for you and me, it will never end well. Everybody look up here at me. If nature takes its course for everybody and everything, as we say, just let the thing run on its own. Don't interfere with it. Just let it go. And however how it ends, that's how it ends. I want to tell you something this morning. When nature takes its course with you and me, it will never end well.
Amen.
Does it? You notice the stages of a person's life as nature takes its course. They're inside their mother's womb. Nature takes its course and they're a newborn. How beautiful and sweet they are. That's before they get old enough to sass you. Then they become an infant. They're a baby. Then they get around 2 years old and they're a toddler. Then they become a child. Then God help us, they're a teenager. As nature takes its course, they begin to grow older and they become a young adult. What I'm called now is a middle-aged adult. I'm 45. I don't understand that term. I doubt very seriously I'm going to live 45 more years. I hope I do. I hope the Lord comes back.
Amen.
Then you become a senior adult. Then you become a dead adult. And then you're going to hell. That is nature taking its course. You go through all the stages of life. You grow old. You get sick. You go to your deathbed. And you're going to hell forever. That's nature taking its course with every single person in here this morning.
Amen.
You're going to grow up, you're going to get old, you're going to get sick, you're going to die, and you're going to go to hell. When nature takes its course, you go to hell. All you have to do to go to hell, listen, what have I got to do to go to hell? What are you talking about going to hell? Let me tell you what you've got to do to go to hell. Absolutely nothing.
Amen.
I saw this gospel tract some years ago and I can't remember it, but I remember the gospel tract was like this. It said, what do I have to do to go to hell, or what do you have to do to go to hell, or something like that. And when you open the gospel tract up, it was nothing but a blank piece of paper. Your course of nature is that's where you're going. You're born with an inherited sin nature. You sin continually and constantly. You grow more older and more into sin, and you're damned. You're living on borrowed time. It don't matter if you live to be 30. It don't matter if you live to be 50. It don't matter if you live to be 80. It don't matter if you live to be 100. When nature takes its course, they're going to put you and me in the ground and you're going to go to hell.
Amen.
And burn for eternity. That's nature taking its course.
Amen.
All you have to do to go to hell is absolutely nothing. I'll show you that. A few scriptures we're going to look at in the Bible this morning. Take your Bible, first of all, and go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is the great chapter on the resurrection. And this thing contrasts your spiritual body and your resurrected body with your natural body. But since we're talking this morning about nature taking its course, let's look at our natural body, the one that I come out of the womb with. The one that's deteriorating. The one that won't do nothing what it did 20 years ago. And if I'm still alive 20 years from now, it'll sure enough be in bad shape. Some of you that's 20 years plus older than me, you know what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as it describes this body, go back to verse number 42. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and it is raised in incorruption. First of all, the course of nature is you and I have a corruptible body.
Amen.
We come from the dirt, and when we die, they're going to put us back in the dirt. And then as you go on there, look at verse number 43. What else it says about when nature takes its course with our body? It is sown in dishonor. It's a dishonorable body. Our body is dishonorable because it's rotten and it's decaying and it's running down and it's full of wickedness and rebellion and sin. The Bible says our bodies are dishonorable. Notice what else it says, this body. It's a natural body. It's nature taking its course. But thank God Almighty, and we'll get on this a little bit later in that same verse, it talks about a spiritual body. And then go on there as it describes that. Notice what it says. It says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth. It's an earthly body. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. And notice what it says there. It's going down to verse number 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. This body's mortal. It rots and it dies. Pretty positive message so far. Amen. Real positive. Yeah. And listen, because nature will take its course, you will never be able to understand the things of God. It just gets worse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now I'm going to, here at the beginning of this sermon, paint a very, very dark and bleak picture for you, because that's what it is.
Amen.
That's what happens to us when nature takes its course. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. We see that this man, we looked at it, he's got a corruptible body. He's got a body that's dishonorable. And then notice this, this natural man, he can't even begin to understand the things of God, the only one that can help him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 knows what it says. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. When nature takes its course, you don't understand nothing that's spiritual. All you understand, and limited with this understanding, is something that's physical. That's nature taking its course. Why do you think sometimes I preach stuff and I preach it over and over and over, and some of you give me these blank stares and some of you don't understand, you never get plugged in? I'm not saying it about all of you, but I'm afraid that sometimes I'm preaching to some people that have never been saved. I didn't ask you, did you go to church? I didn't ask you if you was a member of a church. Had you ever been baptized or none of that other stuff? I fear that I preach to some people Sunday after Sunday after Sunday that have never received Christ as their Savior. And that's why you cannot understand the preaching.
Amen.
Because a natural man cannot understand the things of God.
That's good.
You have no hope in it. They're foolish to you. The most foolish thing to lost people is that you saved people would be here this morning listening to me scream at you. It's foolish to them. Why ain't you out on the lake? Why ain't you catching some fish? Why aren't you at the swimming hole? Anything but wasting your time in church. It's foolish to them. You know why it's foolish to you? Might be just because you're a carnal Christian. We're going to get on that. That's probably what most of you's problem is. But some of it, you know why it's foolish of you to expect you to ever come back on Sunday nights, ever get involved in a church, ever put more than two pennies in on Sunday? It's because you can't understand spiritual things. You're lost as a golf ball in high grass.
Amen.
And when nature takes its course, you're going to bust hell wide open sitting in a church pew every Sunday.
Amen.
It's a horrible thing, but it happens. So the natural man, you can't understand the things of God. And notice what it says about you. Look at Ephesians 2:3. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3, looking at this word nature. Nature taking its course. Nature, just take your hands off of it. Don't try to stop anything. Don't try to intervene anything. Just let the thing run its course. What's going to happen, preacher? Ephesians chapter 2 verse number 3. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Let nature take its course. All right. This is what's going to happen to every one of us in here when nature takes its course. When you let nature take its course, you're born, you live, you grow up, you get sick, you die, and you go to hell.
Amen.
Because the Bible says you're a child of wrath.
Right.
Child of wrath. You say, good night, almighty preacher. Is there not any mercy? What needs to happen? What can we do? You just, did I hear you say, preacher, that's the course of nature for all of us? All of us. Even you, preacher, even me, everybody. So what can we do? Listen to me. What you and I need is something to happen that goes against nature. What you and I need is something to happen to us that goes contrary and against nature. What we need is a divine nature.
Amen.
Not a natural one. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Peter. This will be our last verse you'll be looking up this morning. I want you to go to 2 Peter. I want you to look at chapter 1, verse number 4. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse number 4. And notice what it says here. He says this, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the, what? Divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We get that divine nature when we get saved. And listen, that's the only thing that's going to stop nature from taking its course and landing you in hell one day.
Amen.
Everybody look up here at me. What I said a while ago is absolutely true. All you've got to do to go to hell is nothing. Just keep going like you're going. Just keep doing like you're doing. Just keep believing like you're believing. Don't ever have an encounter with God. And I promise you, you don't even have to sweat it. You will wind up in hell.
Amen.
But in order to stay out of hell, you and I have to do something that's against our nature. Our nature is to sin. Our nature is to decay. Our nature is to get worse. We live in a cursed world. The world is cursed. Our bodies are cursed. Everything is cursed. And so our nature is to do wicked, depraved things. And we've got to have something to come in there. Not a natural nature, but a divine nature. And when you and I get saved, the Lord Jesus Christ comes and lives within us. And hallelujah, I may still have this old flesh till I die, Brother Billy, but thank God, then I have the new man. Jesus Christ lives within me. And I'm changed. I'm changed on the inside, and hallelujah, if you submit yourself to Jesus, you'll be changed on the outside. Amen. Now, once you're saved, you got to let that new nature or your new man control your life. And not let your old man, your natural man, your flesh, control your life. I want you to think about something. When engineers go out there and they decide to reroute a river, they say, you know, this river might have been running this way and this water going this way for hundreds of years, but we don't want that no more. We want to power something or we want to reroute or whatever. Listen, I'm not an engineer. I haven't had any training in that. But I guarantee you just don't go out there one day and say, all right, you boys, get with it. It takes a lot of planning. It takes some knowledge. You got to have a lot of people that are working. They work hard. They get in it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. It's going to take a lot of extra work to get that thing going like they want it. And let me just tell you something. It's going to take a lot of extra work to build up your inner man.
Amen.
You got to feed your inner man. Listen to me. We have too many passive Christians.
Yeah. Amen.
You have to be proactive with your Christian life, or even after you get saved, the practical part of your Christian life, not your position in Christ, but the practical part of your Christian life will still go by the course of nature.
Amen.
I don't know why we don't understand that. We have to feed that inner man. I heard this preacher say this years ago. He said, if I had two dogs and I starved the one and just fed the other one with the best food imaginable and let them go like that a month and then let them have a dog fight, who do you think is going to win the fight? That dog can't fight. He's starved to death. This dog right here has got the food. The reason some of you consistently fail in your Christian life is you're too passive. You're not proactive. You just get, we'll just let it happen like it happened. I'll tell you how it's going to happen. Down.
Yeah. Amen.
You got to feed the inner man. You got to go to church. You got to get some services. You got to get in your Bible. You've got to pray. You've got to fight and resist sin. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Nobody ever starts passing out tracts and say, man, I love this. I can't wait to get cussed out. I can't wait to get embarrassed. I can't wait to get stumbled over my words. Nobody just jumps up and says, praise God, I can't hardly pay my bills. Can't wait to put my tithe check in there too. Nobody says, man, I cannot wait to read the Bible. First and Second Chronicles, I can't wait. Let's read Numbers. Numbers the thing two or three times in there. Man, listen, man, you got to resist. You got to submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and then he'll flee from you. You got to be proactive. You know what you think? I'm going to tell you what some people think. They think, Brother Russell, they're going to get saved, and they just, that's it. I'm not going to hell. Thank God. You know what? That's a pretty sorry attitude.
Amen.
That's a pretty sorry attitude. You know what that'd be like? That'd be like if you were stuck in a house and the house was burning down, you was about to die, and a fella run in the house and got third degree burns and was down there in Mobile in the burn unit for weeks, and you didn't even get a burn on you, and he got that for pulling you out of the house and saving your sorry butt from the fire, and then you never even sent him a thank you card, told him anything, and he laid down there and suffered because he did it for you.
Amen.
That's exactly what we do to Jesus Christ. He went in there and he took the pain and he took the suffering. And long as we got our fire insurance, we don't give a rip about pleasing him. There's something very wrong with your heart this morning. Very wrong with your heart. I don't know about you, but I don't want nature to take its course. Thank God Almighty, nature ain't going to take its course with me. I'm not going to hell.
Yeah.
Why ain't you going to hell, preacher? Because you're a preacher. You're crazy.
Yeah.
Hell's full of preacher. Because
yeah.
You're a Baptist. Lots of Baptists in hell. Because
yeah.
You've been to Bible school. Many of my professors are probably going to hell. Because you do good works. Mormons do good works. Jehovah's Witnesses do good works. No, I've had a born again experience.
Amen.
I came to a place in my life where I said, Lord, I'm a wicked, no good for nothing sinner. Who you talking about? I'm talking about Dennis Knowles. Rotten, vile, wicked, perverted, messed up. And God, nature's going to take its course and put me in hell to pay for my sins. God, would you save me? Nature got intervened in, brother. The course of that thing was taking me to hell, Brother Billy. It got stopped. You know why? Because I tell you what will overrule nature taking its course is divine nature taking its course. But now after I get saved, then there's another battle going on. See, I still have this old body. I still have this old flesh, still have this mind and all that. So something, some more divine intervention needs to take place. I need to be filled with the Spirit. I need to be led by the Spirit. I need to walk in the Spirit. I need to be obedient to God in all things, as we preached on the other week. I have to keep, listen, I can't sit back in a passive state. Why is everybody proactive in their finances and in their work and in their recreation? Man, you'll start going out in the woods, hunting deer sheds, writing down where all the spots are and building your food plots and listing for turkeys a week before the season comes in. Why don't you get that proactive about your Christian life? Some of you spend as much time, bless God, in your Bible as you do at the stupid lake or in the hunting woods. You might amount to something.
Amen.
Amen. Gravity naturally takes you down. It don't take you up. This world is set up on a fall. This world is set up at a fall. He said, what do you mean? Won't you try to jump up? I'm not going to jump up in front of you. First of all, I don't want to hurt myself. Secondly, be embarrassed. I'd probably be happy. I say, man, I cleared 2.5 inches. But I don't care if you're Michael Jordan or who you are, brother, you coming back down. Let me tell you something. On this planet, on this cursed planet, entropy kicks in and decline is inevitable. You go buy a house, I don't care if it's built with the best woods you can get. I don't care if it'll go 100 years or 200 years or whatever. Eventually, the houses are going to rot down. The vehicles are going to rust. Used to go back behind my granddaddy's. They cleared all that out after he died and cleaned up everything. My granddaddy was the kind of fella that when a vehicle stopped running, he just pulled it off there for its last time and left it there. And you go out down there behind my granddaddy's house and all through the woods, there's all kind of cars and all down there. It looked like Sanford and Son out in the country. He just decided, well, you know, that's where it quit. Let's just leave it there. They come in there some years later and people got them and pulled them out. Listen, your cars are rust away, our bodies wear out. This world is getting worse. It's not getting better. We're not evolving. It's going down. Not getting better, it's getting worse. You know what's happening? Our body is naturally wearing out. We're not regenerating. It's not, you ever watch one of these movies where the fella's in there, he's fighting a monster or some kind of alien or something, and he takes his gun and zaps him with his laser beam and blows his arm off, and maybe the monster comes at him, he zaps him with his laser beam, blows his head off, and everybody sits down and they're all, you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. We finally killed the monster, and all of a sudden, he grows another arm, he grows another head, comes back at you again. You appreciate that, don't you, Joe? Joe said, Hey, man, let me tell you something about real world. That's Hollywood fake messed up. If you get your arm shot off today, it ain't growing back. Okay? If you go out there and ask LeVon, show him, man. Yeah. Amen. When he cut his finger, it didn't grow back. It ain't growing back. Amen. You're not regenerating. Whatever you lose, you've lost it. And you're going to keep going down, down. You know what it is? It's a spiral just like this. You ever put that water in a drain and that stuff goes and it's gone. You know what's happening to us? Some of you younger people, you still up here where there's a big wide swirl. So you ain't feeling it so much. I'm down here in the middle. It's getting a little faster. And some of you, bless God, right at the drain. And you're doing this. But hey, listen, it's all the same result. It's going to be. And if you're lost, inhale forever. You've got to have a divine nature or that's where you're going. If you die a Christian and you stand one day at the judgment seat of Christ bankrupt, you know why it'll be? It'll be because you just sat back and let nature take its course with your spiritual life. You just sit back and said, what will be, will be. Que sera, sera. That's a song, that's not Bible. God don't want you to sit back and just go, what will be. He wants you to fight the good fight of faith. Do you know when nature's taking its course with a river, what does it do? The river goes downstream. Do you know what I have to do if I don't have an outboard motor or one that don't work half the time? Can you say amen about that, Brother Vaughn? And I want to go upriver, I've got to go against nature. I got to do some paddling. Our nature's taking me down. I want to go up. Some of you, I preach and I preach and I preach and you're blowing it and you're going to wind up at the judgment seat of Christ with not even a barbed wire crown because you refuse to go against your own nature. Don't be a passive Christian. God help us to be led by the new man that lives within us. My prayer is that God will help you and me to go against nature. What happens when nature takes its course? It's bad. It's bad. I need a divine nature. I've got them. You've got them in you if you're saved. But is he on the throne or are you on the throne? Is he controlling your life or are you controlling your life? You're controlling your life. Nature is taking its course. And if you let him control your life, something supernatural will come in there. You'll have that spiritual engineer, Jesus Christ. Never heard of him compared to that, have you? Your spiritual engineer, he'll get out there and say, boys, I don't care how big this river is. I don't care how many millions and millions of gallons are flowing and been flowing for years and years. Let's go. We're fixing to reroute this thing. Amen. And he'll do that for you, Christian. He'll do that. Every head bowed and every eye closed.